Let's open our Bibles this morning. If you're visiting with us, we open every lesson, whether it's a teaching lesson, a wedding, a homegoing ceremony, we open it with John 3:16. So if you would, if you have your Bible, open to John 3:16, and we're going to read it out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to read it out loud so we can hear, our own ears can hear ourselves say it. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And let's start to read. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Lasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. What great news. The world thinks they have to do something to get right with God. And all God is saying is, if you believe in the name of the only begotten Son, you're saved. He already did the work. All you have to do is believe on Him so that it becomes a reality in your life, that your heart is changed and you've been redeemed, delivered out of darkness and into His marvelous light, into the kingdom of God, and you're saved. Simple. The simple truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn over to Psalm 34. We're teaching on, and we've are doing some lessons on a life of praise and the significance of it. And we've been teaching on when to praise, where to praise. We haven't gotten to that yet, and why we praise. And we're going to pick up today again on why we praise. But let's look at Psalm 34 and verse 1. Let's read that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can look at this verse right here, and it says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. It sounds like a lifestyle to me, doesn't it? All the time we're to praise the Lord. All the time we're to bless His name and give Him thanks. We're to give thanks in everything, not for everything. So right in the middle of problems and issues, we can thank the Lord and bless Him. And one of the things that we shared from previous lessons was that as we bless the Lord and thank Him, we thank Him what? Not for the problem, but for the solution, to show us how to walk through this issue that we have in front of us. And when we do, in faith, He gives us grace. He gives us the solution. He shows us how to walk through it. So we're not grumbling and complaining. We're seeking Him to show us, and in faith. See, this is what we shared in one of the lessons, that what is, when there's true faith, when there's real faith, faith always praises God before He acts. If it's faith, if you're in faith and you're convinced and confident of the solution that God's going to see you through, then faith praises. Faith praises God before you see it. Thank you for those few amens. Every faith prayer ends in praise. Everyone. Now, if you don't think so, let's turn over. I didn't mean to get here today, but let's go over to Acts 16. familiar story. Who was in the jail? Paul and Silas. Acts 16. Every faith prayer ends in praise. Acts 16:25. So you want to know, when do you praise them? At midnight. In the stocks. Yeah, beaten, bloody. You praise them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and then did what? Sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't silent praise. They weren't thinking about praising them. They did praise them. So they prayed and then sang praises. So every faith prayer ends in praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they weren't complaining to God. They were singing praises unto God. Hallelujah. So we spent some time. Let me just take a moment here. Turn over just for a second. I wanted to share this. This just came up here. Proverbs 8:32. Proverbs 8:32. See, coming and hearing the word is great, but faith without works is dead. That's what the scripture says in James 2:26. But Proverbs 8:32, it says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that do what? Keep my ways." So you are blessed not just because you heard it, but because you do it. And so that is the key. And so I'll just read this. You don't have to turn there. But what does Psalm 1 say? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So in other words, he's doing it. He's not only meditating in it, but he's doing it, and he's blessed. Blessed is the man that lifts up his voice and praises God. Not just thinking about praising it, not just thinking about praising him and thanking him, but you bless him with your words and thank him for what he's doing in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read this in another translation. This is the Good News translation of Psalm 34:1. "I will always thank the Lord. I will never stop praising him." Never. When does that mean? Continually. All the time. "I will praise him for what he has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad." And this is the New International. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see here from Psalm 22:3, it says, "But thou art holy, O that inhabitest the praises of Israel." So when he inhabits our praises. Amen. So one of the things that we shared was, if you want to see an increase in the manifestation of God's presence, start praising him. If you're praising him, praise him some more. Thank him some more. And you're going to see an increase in God's manifested presence in your life. Hallelujah. And I shared from other scriptures. We won't spend time here. But peace is the manifest presence of God. So one of the attributes, as you begin to praise God and you begin to worship him and his presence is manifested, what is one of the key things that is manifest in that setting? Peace. His peace. He is the God of peace. He is peace. And his presence, there is peace. And you can always tell if there's no peace in your setting, something's wrong. Amen. it's not God. If there's trouble, if there's strife, if there's tension, it's not God. It's your adversary trying to stir up strife in that setting. So you can begin to tell if there's not peace in a home, if there's not peace in a situation, there's something else going on that's not of God. And I always like to say, I'm going to have equal time. You want to curse God? I'm going to praise Him. You're not afraid to sit up and curse His name. I'm going to say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And bless His name. Hallelujah. Now, let's pick up today. I wanted to pick up where we were the last few lessons and why we praise God. And first of all, we said that we praise God because He's worthy. That's the first reason. And we went over to Revelation 5 and we said, Thou art worthy to take the book. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Now, today, He's worthy to be praised. Now, today, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Verse 15, I'm sorry. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, and verse 15. It says, By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, who is pleased? God is well pleased. Hallelujah. And before I move on, just a thought that came to me. I believe the Holy Ghost is prompting me here to just share this. That when we keep a praise on our lips and thanksgiving in our heart, there becomes a sensitivity in our spirit to God. And one of the things that I had written down here in Philippians 4:7, it says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, see, it surpasses all of your understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as you praise God through difficult times, the peace of God will begin to rule and reign in your heart and in your mind, and you will not be troubled with the circumstance. What are we going to do? You won't wring your hand. I don't know what to do. And the trouble of that will not consume or overwhelm you. What will? The peace of God. The peace of God will rule and reign in your heart as you keep a song, as you keep a praise on your lips continually. Now, we said, it's not just what we hear. Oh, yes, praise God, glory to God. Yes, amen. Praise God. And then somebody steps on your toe Monday morning. And I just mean that just lightly. I mean somebody is cursing you out and giving you what for, and all of a sudden, something else is ruling and reigning in your mind and your flesh. And it's going to take an effort for us. It may not be a job. It could be something up close and personal. It could be a husband and wife. Trading barbs and wire, you know, just arguments. And so you're going to have to do it. And it's going to be something that is for us to step over and to actually live this thing. We're going to have to make an effort. That goes for all of us. Every single one of us live in this flesh. And the flesh wants to do things when it's stepped on and spoken to and acted to a certain way. We want to react sometimes. And the only way to change that habit is to put another habit in place. And that other habit is going to be thanking God and blessing Him. With those that do what? Curse you. Which is in Luke, tells you. Bless them that curse you and despitefully use you. So it's going to take an effort on our part to say, Father, I thank you for them. I don't understand it, but I thank you for them. And God, see, when you begin to bless and thank God for your enemy and for the person that's giving you a problem, His presence begins to manifest. And sometimes, I'm not saying this is going to be the case in every case, but God could put compassion, the compassion of God, and He may show you why that person acted the way they did. They could be going through something themselves, and it's the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom that could be spoken to them, and they could become your friend. But it's not going to happen with you trading remarks. It's going to be thanking God and praising God for them and praying for them. And God, I'm telling you, God will supernaturally reveal Himself to you to help, because that's really what God wants. He's looking for every avenue to help people. And we have to give Him the way for Him to work through us. How's He going to do that? Not by grumbling and complaining. It's by thanking God, giving Him praise, and thanking Him for this, in this situation, to help us through it. Amen? Colossians 3:15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I'm just reading some things where the Holy Ghost just prompted me to just share that. Amen. So back to Hebrews 13, where we read, "Let us therefore offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Sounds like Psalm 34:1. That is, now, let me ask a question. You read this, it explains. The scripture explains itself. It says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise." Somebody say, well, what is the sacrifice of praise? It tells you right there. That is. You know, the kids say, duh. It's right there. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. So the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Boy, don't you like that? Boy, I like it when it says God is well pleased. He's well pleased with our praise. So proper praise pleases God. Proper praise pleases God. And so a proper praise is an acceptable sacrifice to Him. So we can bring an acceptable sacrifice to God that He's well pleased with. Now we'll see that, and let me read this from the Amplified translation. This is Hebrews 13:15. It says, "Through Him," same different translation, "through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise." Constantly and at all times, "which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So you can see that God is well pleased, these sacrifices, He's well pleased with our praise and a sacrifice of praise. And I'm going to get into that in a moment. So you can see here that when we read over in John 3:16, it says God gave. God is a giver. And if God ever stopped giving for 1 second, if He ever stopped giving for 1 second, giving of His grace, giving of His power, we'd be this whole earth and everything would come apart. So He is giving constantly, continually. And so are we. We should be giving praise continually and thanks continually. Amen. One thing I wanted to, let's turn over to, I'm going to share something. Turn over to Matthew 6. I know you all know this, but it's good to remind ourselves. And sometimes, you know, we can hear something 100 times, and we've heard it for 20 years, but sometimes we're in a different place the next time we hear it, and it has different revelation or insight to us. But when you read the word sacrifice, when you look up, well, not so much look it up, but would you not agree that words can have different meanings in different eras? Right? So a word that was expressed in the 1500s, the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s can have a different connotation than something today. Now, when you hear the word sacrifice, what does that convey to you? Does that convey that you have to give up something? Right, doesn't it? So you hear the word sacrifice, it's like, okay, I'm going to give up the sacrifice of praise. God is a giver. And so when we offer up the sacrifice of praise, it can convey something that's different than what the old English translators meant. When you go into the Old Testament, if you look at all of the sacrifices that were made, and you can go look, I mean, you can look at them. You had burnt offerings, you had meal offerings, you had fellowship offerings, you had sin offerings, you had all these different offerings. What were they? Offerings. They were offerings. And that's really what this is really referring to. A sacrifice of praise is really an offering. It's an offering. And we're going to see that from the scriptures, that the sacrifice of praise is really an offering unto God. It's something that I'm bringing, I'm giving to Him of my own choice, that I free will. I want to give Him praise and give Him blessing and honor Him because He's so good. That's an offering. And that conveys something entirely different than when we say, I'm bringing the sacrifice of praise. It sounds, it can convey to the listener today something entirely different. When you just look up the word sacrifice in the dictionary, just the plain English dictionary, it says loss. Well, it's not a loss. I'm bringing something to God for His honor and His glory. Hallelujah. Turn over to Psalm 54. I know we'll get back to Matthew 6. We'll get back there in due season. Psalm 54. Psalm 54. Because you're going to see this in the scripture. And it's very clear. Psalm 54 and verse 6. Says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee, not grudgingly or out of necessity. I freely bring an offering to you. I freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Hallelujah. Now, jump ahead, Psalm 116. We're going to turn to a few scriptures. So I hope you got your fingers ready. Psalm 116 and verse 17. What does that say? I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Psalm 141 and verse 2 says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Glory to God. So we're to lift up our hands in praise as the evening sacrifice. So he doesn't want, as the Old Testament, where they brought in all of the bullocks and the turtle doves and all of this to sacrifice, we can now in this new dispensation lift up our hands in praise as the evening sacrifice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that has pleasure to God. Just the same way. And we'll turn to some of those scriptures. But when they offered up, when Noah built that altar after they got out of the ark and he brought up of all the clean animals and offered them on that altar to God, what did it say in the scripture? And God smelled it as a sweet savor. So our hands lifted up in praise can have the same effect to God. A sweet smelling savor to God. Right in the middle of your problem. Right in the middle of your trouble. You can say, God, I thank you. I bless you. And thank you. Thank you. I'm in the middle of this, but I know you're going to get me through. I bless your holy name. You are good and worthy of all praise. That will be a sweet smelling savor to God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. I hope this is getting a little, because we can please God with our praise and our thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Oh boy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. See, we're talking about living sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament. Well, what are we supposed to do here? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and what? Acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So one of the things, when we get in our place, when we offer unto God, God, use me. Use me. Use my mouth. Use my arms. Use my talents. Everything you've given me. And I give it to you. That's an acceptable sacrifice. A praise unto God which is acceptable to him. Hallelujah. I'll read this. You don't have to turn there. You know this scripture. Ephesians 5:1. I'll read it. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So just the same way Christ offered himself up for us, which was a sweet-smelling savor unto God, we can also and should present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, well-pleasing unto him. Hallelujah. That is a praise to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go back to Psalm 69. You're going to see a few more scriptures. I'm trusting we'll get enough to you today. Don't want to overfeed you. You know, you go out bloated. You can't get bloated on the word. I'm just kidding. Psalm 69:30. One thing we can come here can be a smorgasbord. I can go as many times as I want to the table. Hallelujah. Psalm 69:30. Oh boy, this is exciting. Wow. 69:30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will do what? Magnify him with thanksgiving. Now look at 31. Look at 31. Look at verse 31. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah. Better. Better. So our praise is better than bullocks and oxen sacrificed. Hallelujah. A better covenant we have. Glory to God. Glory. Now, let's jump forward to Hosea. Hosea. Daniel, Hosea. And Hosea chapter 14, Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. Hosea 14 verse 2. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. It's in your Bible. I'm looking at it. Somebody said, Hosea? I said, yes, it's in your Bible. Just get somebody to help you. You'll find it. All right. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Now, listen. So will we render the calves of our lips. Isn't that an interesting statement? Now, listen to this in the Amplified Version. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all our iniquity, accept what is good and receive us graciously. Listen to this. This is in the Amplified. So will we render our thanks as bullocks to be sacrificed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And pay confession of our lips. So will we render our thanks as bullocks to be sacrificed. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the Amplified. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. So our praise and our thanks is as a living sacrifice. And it's to be done continually. Hallelujah. Let's turn over. We got a few minutes. We're moving fast today. God is good. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. And of course, you know the story. This is the Macedonian church and Paul being assisted by them. Okay, let me back up. I said 18. Let me back up to 15 and we'll start reading. 15 down to 19. It says, "Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Now look at this. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." What is this? The things that they gave him were what? An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me ask you something. When you bring your gifts, not, "Oh, I gotta give again." When you bring your gifts into the church, when you bless other ministries, when you bless people and their need is met, that is an odor of a sweet smell to God, well pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. So as you are directed and prompted to give, and you bring not just your tithes, but your offerings, and you supply the needs of others who need it. This says here that it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, an offering. See, it's an offering acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let me ask a question. When something is well-pleasing to God, oh, I like it. Yeah, when God is well-pleased, when He's well-pleased, who's going to be the recipient? Oh, we are. See, you don't need to be. I heard Brother Hagin say this for years. "I never pray for myself." And you may say, really? He never prayed for himself, for his own needs. He never did. He always prayed for the church's needs, but he said, "For mine, I never prayed." Gets quiet. He gets real quiet. You hear a pin drop. He said, "Really?" Yeah, because he said, "God supplied all my needs." So you either believe that or you don't. Now we'll get to Matthew 6. Let's go back to Matthew 6. Real quiet in here. Let's go to Matthew 6. Now's a good time. Now's a good time to go to Matthew 6. Let's go over here. Let's take a look. Let's see what Matthew has to say. Matthew chapter 6. Let me read verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." That's what Brother Hagin was saying. I don't pray for my needs. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Who feeds them? Your heavenly Father. Are ye not much better than they? Yeah, absolutely, yes. Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit, and that is, well, a cubit would be 18 inches, unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more, say much more, much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, God already said he knows what you have need of, and he's going to do it. He's going to make it come to pass in your life. How is that possible? It says, take therefore, verse 31, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. Now here's the key verse right here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things might be added unto you. Might be added unto you. So that's why Brother Hagin never prayed for himself. Because he knew. And he lived the scripture which says he knew that God knew what he needed. He knew that. God knew it. And so he said, I did what? Sought him first. And everything I did. And that all those things would be added. See, we're trying to network and get hook up and make things happen and all of that. And unless God builds a house, you labor in vain. We're to seek him. We are to be, give our bodies a what? A living sacrifice for him to use. Which is what the Holy Ghost is saying. Get in your place and there will be grace in that place for you. Grace to run your business. See, some of us are trying to juggle and run businesses and do things, and God's saying, you will never be effective even in the businesses that God gives you until you get in place here and support the ministry. Amen. Wherever you're being fed. I'm telling you the truth by the Holy Ghost. Some of you want to have businesses, get busy in the church. Do something. I don't care if it's an hour a week. And God will give you grace and give you favor in those things that he's given you. That you don't have to make happen because he's making it happen. He's building it. I saw it here with this ministry. They didn't chase after things. And ministries did and got in debt. And this ministry never did. They stayed steady, only did those things that God told them to do. And there was grace and favor for that. You get off doing things God never told you to do, no grace, no favor. And a lot of times, debt and anxiety. And so when we seek him first in everything that we do, there's going to be grace, and it's going to be a blessing, and all of your needs are going to be met. And you can walk through and just praise him. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you're meeting my needs. Thank you. And God, first of all, think about this. What pleases God? He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those who do what? Oh, that sounds to me like just what we just got done reading here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So all he's wanting us to do is to do what? Walk by faith, live by faith, And so, yeah, he already knows you have need of things. He knows that. But he wants you to thank him and praise him continually. Thank him that he's working it out. He's doing it. Father, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want to send me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Put him first, and all those things that you have need of shall be added unto you. And I'll tell you another thing. The things that we're adding to our life that God had no intentions of us having detract. And a lot of those things, if you go over and it talks about the sower sowing the word, what do those things do? Choke. They choke the word. They choke your productiveness in the body of Christ. And sometimes we have things that we've added that God didn't add, and we had no business doing it. I believe there's a scripture. You help me. I believe it's in the Psalms. It says the blessings of the Lord are without what? Without sorrow. That's correct. So those things that he gives us are without sorrow. Amen. Okay, give you a couple more, two more scriptures. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe. Yeah. First Peter chapter 2. In verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, or we could say spiritual offerings, acceptable to God. How? By Jesus Christ. And the Amplified says, come, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for an holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood. Sounds like Romans 12. To offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Christ Jesus. Now jump down to verse 9. We'll close with this scripture. But ye are, you are, you're not going to be, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We are to continually offer up praises to him constantly, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. We're to seek him first in everything that we do. And that is a lifestyle. And the only way something becomes a lifestyle is that you start to do it and you continue doing it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll close with that. If you're available Wednesday, come out. We'll continue. I'll be here. Amen. Amen. Any thoughts? I know this was a lot today to feed on, but if you go back, get the CD, feed on it, meditate on it, and most importantly, if you're not consistently praising him, when you open your eyes in the morning, or as you're beginning to open, just say, Father, thank you for another day. I bless you. Thank you. You don't have to be loud. You know, if you're married and you got somebody in the bed there and you don't want to disturb them, just quietly, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you today. Bless you. I bless you today. Thank you for giving me the strength and the wisdom and the revelation to walk through this day. Thank you for your good and your mercy endure forever. Your mercies are new every day, every morning. Hallelujah.